If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Welcome in, everybody. It's Kostaki Economopoulos, host of All Pro Lines, the podcast. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate you being here. My guest today is Tom Simmons, old friend of the show, old friend of mine, contributor. Some of the great jokes you hear on the show are written by Tom. I love that guy. He's somewhere floating around the magical oceans of the world telling jokes. We got him for a little while today. We're going to talk about intermittent fasting. But first, a couple housekeeping things. I am on the road here coming up. I'm going to Berlin in a couple days. And, you know, it's a pretty standard flight you book. It's a path that everybody takes. You go from L.A. to Berlin and then Berlin to Des Moines. And then you rent a car and drive around for 4 days and tell jokes, and then you fly back from Des Moines to LAX. So I booked that flight. Pretty standard fare. So I'll be in Des Moines, Fort Dodge, Sioux Falls, Sioux City. The Sioux Falls and Sioux City are with Greg Hahn and Bob Zanny. Those shows are tremendous. Then later in the year, I'm doing Cincinnati, Jasper, Indiana, Mahomin, Illinois. Those are all really good gigs. I'm looking forward to all of those. And then beginning of the new year, I'm doing Stockton and Janesville and Riverside and Quincy. All the details are kostaki.com. Let's do a few jokes and we'll bring in our boy Tom. Let's see here. We want to do
the 2 minute drill.
Music exactly. Sorry, it's morning for me. I'm cut myself shaving. I tried to take a shower. I'm going from here to help second graders with math and I'm picking up kids from school. I got a lot going on and we're trying to fit Tom Simmons in. Thanks for being here. I appreciate you guys following along and thanks for listening in your ear holes. Let's do a few football jokes. The Saints are so terrible, the church is quietly moving them to another parish. You see, that's bad. They're changing the name of the Superdome. Now it's Our Lady of Perpetual Third Downs. Yeah, the only thing the Saints have converted this year is caffeine into anxiety. When the Saints go marching in has officially been reclassified as fiction. See, these are the jokes, everybody. Jacksonville's Cam Little now holds the record for longest field goal. Justin Tucker is rolling over on his masseuse table. Justin, if you weren't such a jerk, you'd be in there. If you didn't insist on such a jerk... Well, at least this story has a happy ending now, so that's good. The Bears beat the Bengals 47-42. Nobody could stop anybody. They should refer to this game as the defense rests. The Bengals' defense is so generous, the IRS is calling it a charitable organization. Yeah, the Cincy defense is so soft, they landed a sponsorship with Charmin, everybody. When the Bengals call cover zero, they mean it. They cover zero of the players out there. Bengals defense is like Bigfoot. There's no proof it even exists. The Bengals D completely collapsed. And during the game, I saw a commercial for a pill that helps you when your D collapses. You can get a pill for that. I've read many times. I've seen the ads. a lot. There's a lot of money being made in this pill, I guess. I don't know. I watched the tape of that game. I didn't realize the first time I watched it, the Bengals replaced their defense with a saloon door. It just swings open and you can run through. And the Bears defense, it was just a Walmart greeter. It was just a guy welcoming you. Next week, the Bengals D will be a gossamer dream catcher. There's like 30 of these. I don't care. I'm doing a lot of them. Steelers D is like the steel curtain. The Bengals D is more of like a curtain of beads, like at Wendy's in the 80s. Just like you just walk. You hear a sound, but there's not really any resistance. A yield sign would be a better defense than the Bengals defense, because then you slow down for a second, look at it. A fifth grade class Red Rover line. Yeah. Just setting down Marge Schott's coffin on the line of scrimmage would be a better defense. Some players might trip over it. A handwritten note by Pete Rose explaining the gambling would be a better defense. You could slip and fall. A bowl of Skyline chili would be better. At least then you got to stop and put the cheese on and get the oyster crackers open. And, you know, Chris Henry's ankle bracelets would be a better D. Chad Johnson's paperwork to change his name to Ocho Cinco would be a better defense. An actual Buckeye just sitting there in the turf. A turnstile. The mayor standing there explaining why the Cincinnati airport is actually in Kentucky. See, that would be... You'd have to stop and wince for a second, go, okay, it's fine. A broken table from the Bills tailgate would be a better defense. Jazz hands. One of those banners that the Little League team busts through, that would be a better defense. An old man wagging his finger would be a better defense than the Cincinnati Bengals defense. The guy who stood in front of the tank with the briefcase in Tiananmen Square, just that guy with his briefcase. A wet floor sign would be a better defense. A message from Netflix. Are you still watching? That would be a better defense. A kid selling fundraising candy bars. You got to stop and chat them up, you know. A hotel do not disturb sign would be a better defense. A pop-up that says, I'm not a robot. Well, you gotta stop for a sec and check that box, you know? A CAPTCHA test. Select all the squares where you see linebackers. That would be a better defense. Oh, that make me laugh. That's something. Big day for the Bears rookie Kyle Manungai. My buddy Jim Mintier said if he had a fantasy team, he would call it Cream of Manungai, which that's hilarious. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but that's how I pronounce it. Cream of Manungai. The Packers wore their super cool throwbacks that included faux leather helmets. Why leather? Why do we wear leather helmets back in the day? When you think about animals that are protected from head injuries, you think cow? I don't know. Imagine explaining to the leather helmet era guys that someday there will be cushioned, high-tech, hard-shell helmets and we'll have female referees and black quarterbacks. Imagine there's no smoking on the sidelines. Imagine explaining this new world to the gentlemen of that era. The Falcons are playoff sleepers. No, sorry, I misread that. They have been put to sleep. The Cowboys. Cowboys are going to go hard at the trade deadline, they said. They said they needed a pass rusher. Yeah, you know what they should do? They should trade for Micah Parsons. They need an edge rusher. Of course they do. We keep hearing about all the illegal immigrants rushing across the Texas border. None of them have a swim move. None of them can bull rush a guy. It seems like a few well-placed cameras. Like, that guy trucked a border agent and made him look silly. Here's a Cowboys jersey. Welcome to America. Yeah, the cameras at the border are not for the immigration. It's so the Cowboys can see how to get past a blocker. All right. That's probably enough jokes. Tom, are you here? I see you're here somewhere. Maybe you're here. You guys know him. You love him. It's Tom Simmons. Great comedian. Great follow. Follow him on the socials. He's got some new specials coming out. Let me add you to the stage. Simmons. Hey, man. Are we getting a non-video version of you today?
Do you not have a video of me?
I don't have a video version, but I can hear you. That's the most important part.
I don't know why. I'm logged in. I mean, I'm in.
Oh, you're pitch black on my screen. I don't know. Maybe it shows up somewhere else. Just look around for a second. See if there's a click on the, like a little video camera icon that you can click on. And
yeah, it's on.
Oh, it's on? Are you in the dark?
No, I can see a picture of me right now, and I'm well lit up.
Yeah, all right. Screw it. I can hear you. That's all I care about anyway.
That's awful.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good, except you can't see me from in Carousel. I'm in a hotel here. I get on a ship tomorrow and go to work. And going around the world doing these shows, and then to Vegas. I got fucking couple specials and a documentary that are out, and I think I'm doing good.
That's awesome, man. I love all that.
Cover Zero. Very funny, by the way. Cover Zero is good.
You were here. You were listening. I couldn't see you, so I didn't know if you were here.
I like the phrase shower. I like the idea of a shower curtain. Like the, instead of the steel curtain, they're more like a shower curtain.
Oh, that's good. That might be better. I like the curtain of beads. It's got an image that's kind of funny, but you're right. Shower curtain's good. Is.
The shower curtain and then go to the beads, right?
Can I do 15 of those on Bob and Tom, or they're going to cut me off? They're going to let me keep going?
I don't know. You can do 15 to me. I don't listen to Bob and Tom. I don't know. They're going to interrupt you and tell you jump, you know, I'm assuming.
I assume that too. We'll see what happens. That, you know what? You're a comic. You appreciate this. Like, for whatever reason, I can't even explain it. That was the series of jokes that made me laugh the most. So I just kept writing them. It was just like fun to write them.
Right.
So I feel like they might not be the best jokes, but those are the ones I'm going to do with the biggest smile on my face. Like I find them funny. They just keep going with that premise. So I don't care. That's what I'm doing.
I like the idea of finding what you enjoy and going after it. You know what I mean? Someone used to something about where I thought the tag would be. It looks blurry to Anthony Richardson.
That poor kid.
He broke the field goal record. That's pretty cool. Do you think it's because he's better than the other kickers or because of the balls this year?
It sounds like they're letting them mess around with the balls in a way that they didn't used to, right?
Right.
They let them prep them, so that's a factor. And, of course, these guys are getting stronger and better trained and understand the process, you know, technologically and health-wise and diet and, you know, like these guys are getting better at the job too. So it's both, right?
Yes.
But yeah, that one looked like it would be good from 70. And Brandon Aubrey, the other guy, is probably even the better kicker. He'll probably break this. I mean, it'd be fun if he broke that record tonight, right?
Yeah.
The Cowboys kicker plays tonight. Yeah, it's crazy. So, all right, I got several questions. First of all, I just, because I'm dumb, I looked up Carousel on the map, so I knew where you are. It's basically coast. It's an island off the coast of Venezuela. It's way further away than you think of when you hear Carousel in your head.
In Venezuela, it doesn't sound very safe, to be honest. Isn't that where stuff's going on in the world, where we're blowing boats out of the water and stuff? Is that the right country?
Oh boy, I don't know. I think it's closer to America, but it might be from there. Yeah. But you're like a twin with Aruba. It's like right there next to Aruba. And these are places that Americans have in their head of like, oh, those are just tropical locales where you go and there's palm trees and they give you drinks, you know, like it doesn't feel foreign. It feels like, you know, Key West.
Yes. Yes, it does. except the people that they're, you know, that they speak some in their own language, like a version of Dutch and Spanish and it's sort of its own thing. It's kind of cool.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
But it's not where everybody just speaks English as a second language. So there is a little bit of that, you know.
Oh, okay. That makes it feel more foreign, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that definitely makes it feel more foreign. The outlets all work, so it seems that's fine. You know what I mean? That's where it really feels foreign to me, where it's like everybody can speak English, but if the outlet doesn't work and they're driving on the wrong side of the road, fuck this place.
What are you between? Did you just fly to the carousel and then you're getting on, or are you in between boats?
Yeah, I got off one in Fort Lauderdale that I got on in Norfolk, and then they flew me down here. I stay here tonight, and then I get on another one tomorrow, and then I think I go back to, I don't really pay attention until that week when I'm getting off. So it's like, I think I'm getting off in Fort Lauderdale and then I get back on another ship. This is a weird run where I'm going like ship to ship to ship to ship to ship until December.
Wow. That's kind of cool. Do you love that or is it too much?
No, that's what I do. I love, you know, I'm a Canadian. So I love, you know, I don't get to go to Janesville, Wisconsin. They don't book me there. So you know what I mean? I don't have a tour with Han and Zany where, you know, then a famous guy on the show, Guy, that we can still use his name to draw.
As a for instance, you don't have that.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm milking. We're all milking all these things as long as they last. Yeah, that's right.
So I get, you know, this is where they pay me to do comedy. I love it. You know, so it's like I just do comedy and do these things. And then this last month has been like part of it's helped me with the travel as far as the fasting thing going. Because you and I started this fasting thing, and it was like, oh, okay, that won't be too tough. It's tougher than it's weird. It was harder and easier than I thought. I don't know how you feel about it.
Yeah, that's weirdly descriptive. Yeah, hold on. I want to get to that. But so tell me one of your favorite stops lately on the ship. I mean, you're not going to just the traditional pedestrian choices. You're in some cool, interesting, different places. Are you getting off and walking around?
Sometimes. I'm working, man. I get to the gym. I meditate. I got books I'm trying to read. I don't feel like I probably should be vacationing a little more on it, but I just don't. I just sort of, you know, do my shows and work on the comedy. Like on these ships, I usually get on the day of, and then I either have three shows that night, or the next night I have three shows, and then the next night I have one show, and then the next day I get off the ship and go to the next one. So, you know, if I can stack a bunch of those, that's pretty good money. And then it's get on, have a day, do some shows, you know, so.
Yeah, that's a lot of shows. You do three in one night?
Yeah, they're easy though. On this ship, it depends on the ship, you know what I mean? Like if you're doing this stuff, you're doing, you know, 97 shows in the week, and there's, you know, 40 minute clean and a thing in a theater and a thing, you know what I mean? So it's just, I have my pile of 3 hours of jokes, and then I use them through the week. And then on this line that I'm doing now, right, this run is, they want you to do a 30 minute family show and repeat it three times. And then the next night do a totally different show. That's an adult show. And even that's like, they want it to be adult. Everybody thinks they want it to be adult. And then the 70-year-old hears you say pussy and they're like, oh, you can feel them pulling back. You know? So,
right.
You just got to figure it out, you know?
Yeah. So. Right. That's a great way to say it. You just got to figure it out. I feel like you can't do well on a ship unless you're a grizzled road vet. There's so many skills that you have to employ. You know, a new kid couldn't pull off a ship. It's too many different things. And then the skills that you've learned from all these years of telling jokes in all these weird different places, you can kind of put them all together and do well on ships, you know, but it takes some doing. It's hard. I find the learning curve on ships to be really steep. And then once you get it, you're like, oh, okay, I'm good here. I mean, that was my experience.
My experience in comedy through all the years of doing it is every time I think I've got something figured out, it's like, kabam.
Right. Yeah, that's true too.
Punch from nowhere. I'm like, right. What?
Yeah. I find poker to be the same way. I'm like, oh, I'm good. And then, you know, I'm like, wait, what? And, you know, and the opposite of every time I think it's hopeless, there's just like some crazy giant pot being pushed my way. And it's true of comedy, too. It's don't get too cocky or too down about it, you know.
Yeah.
But you're in Curaçao now. Like, you had to at least go in and out of a hotel. What's it like there? I don't have any idea what that place is
like. Last night it was like I was in a different hotel. Like, I flew in and they you know, you fly in and then it's like sometimes they're like, for me last night there was nobody there to pick me up and I get anxiety, like, oh my god, like I'm in a foreign land and I don't know what to do, you know, where I'm going and blah blah blah. And then the hotel was different and they sent someone a half an hour. My phone turned on to pay that money to now I could call somebody, so I get a little panicky. Anyway, it was just a hotel by an airport. It's fine. It's nice outside. I'm at like a nicer sort of resort area that's people are laying out of the pool and it's, you know, it's Caribbean, you know, and then tomorrow they'll come pick me up and bring me to this. I haven't really done much yet today, so. But it's nice. It's a little, it's like what you think. It's you know, some poverty and some, you know, whatever.
Right. That is exactly what I think. Some poverty and some fancy resorts. And some desertiness and some palm trees that aren't local, but now are there. Yeah right. Okay.
I was rushing to get over here. I'm like, I'm doing a podcast on Fasty. Like, here, I think that means just starving unless you get really good at playing shortstop. You know what I mean? Like, this is... this place does have three really good Braves players that I've always loved. Andrew Jones. Andrelton Simmons, who's I was telling my son last night, home of the place where my second favorite Simmons, my baseball playing Simmons, and so Andrelton's from here, and then Ozzie Albies is from here too.
There's enough population base to have famous baseball players from Curaçao. It seems like such a tiny island.
Yeah, it is. So that's, you know, I mean, that's just the way it is, dude. That when people with out of poverty comes like some of our greatest athletes. You know what I mean? When people are like, if they're good at something, they're like, they have extra, they can lift their whole family out of something, you know?
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. All right. Tell me about the special. Cause I wanted to ask you this just on a personal level too, how I can help promote it and where I find it and all that stuff. Tell the listeners, cause I want to know too.
Okay. Well, what we were just talking about, having 3 hours in a pile of everything I've ever. And I was working on the ships. And I was working at NCL, actually. And I noticed, I had to just do three different totally short shows for 45 minutes each, you know? And I did it. So I was like, oh, I could do this. A lot of us could do this. So I was talking to Malone, and I was talking to him about specials, like the next one that I want to do. And then I was just like, hey, could you come to a comedy club and we'll try to record three specials in one weekend in Cincinnati? And he said yes. So we, you know, he drew me up a budget and he came and we tried it, go bananas to do, you know, the five shows that regular weekend. And I would just do everything I've ever done, basically, and try to get three different specials. And then we only ended up getting two crowds that were, you know, you could really do a special, like a, you know. But so the other crowds were like 40 really hammered people and did the late shows. And then the Sunday show was what you think it is. It was 30 people and it was the best show of the week. You know what I mean? But you can't use that either. So I got a bunch of clips and then I got two different 45 minute shows. And then Malone, within that, sort of interviewed me a couple times and filmed me in the green room and had quick, you know, and then he built a documentary about trying to do the three specials that was really, you know, I didn't contribute to at all except what he filmed me doing. And it's like his artistic vision of that. So that got some good reception at the when he just did it at the, it was featured at the Laugh After Dark Comedy Festival in Vegas and it did pretty well. So now he wants to submit it to a bunch of other festivals and, you know, everything will be out on YouTube at the end of the month. And right now it's all on a site called Laugh After Dark. So you can go there and use the code Tom and you get a free month and you can watch all their specials and you can watch the specials and the documentary.
Oh, just say that but again.
Which part? The laughingdark.com part?
Yeah. What's the page again? The site?
laughafterdark.com.
And then,
or they have an app, and you can put in the code Tom, and it'll give you the 30 days of the use of that site. You can watch all the specials they have, and then, or you can just watch mine and the documentaries there too.
Well, that's great.
So, and then they'll be out. But it's mostly, to be honest, it's some new stuff, but it's mostly stuff that I've done for, like I said, for the whole all of my career. And after the Spoken Giants sort of fiasco, where all my albums, five fucking albums, got taken down off of XM and Sirius because of signing up for Spoken Giants, they won't take that material back for the on satellite radio, recorded in a different version. So I have, not that I still do all the jokes, and I didn't do those albums, but I did what I've been working on the ships for the last few years, doing these,
right,
like I was talking about, out of the pile, everything sort of gets you. So I just, you know, recorded those. I had a bunch of stuff. The first one of them is pretty clean, and it's mostly about Owen and Serena and and jokes and stuff. And then the tightrope is called tightrope is like, it was all recorded like the night after Trump got elected. So there was like a walkout with people yelling Trump, Trump, Trump. And then it was like, somehow I just did a show that was all like guns and politics and the Federal Reserve Bank and school shootings and Israel and Palestine. And, you know, like all the, you know, all the stuff that like is like, you know.
Yeah, that's great. I want to hear that.
So,
well, cool, man.
And they
That's
both
great.
Worked. They both worked. They were both worked fairly. They both worked pretty well. Love Everybody Worked was like, it's like all the that probably had the most connection. And then Tightrope is, as Malone calls it, he's like, it's sort of a vibe where it's, I'm not killing, but at the end of the show, I was like, I got all the words out right. You know what I mean? And all in one show, so I was kind of happy.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that feeling. I'm like, oh, I did it. I got the whole religion chunk in one go right over. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. That's great, man. All right, we got to talk about fasting.
Yeah.
How was it? So basically, you and I did, we did a month of experimenting with intermittent fasting, and you had kind of a different kind of a thing going than I did. I just tried to do the baseline thing for a whole month through. The baseline for the newcomers to this idea is, well, it's the concept of, if you kind of lean on your body to go, hey, we're not eating right now, shift into fat burning mode. If you can do that, sort of as a regular thing, there's some health benefits from it. You can lose some weight. You can you know, some other things that are good too. The baseline is keep your eating into a window that's smaller than your normal window. Most people pick an 8-hour window, say noonish to 8-ish is kind of typical. You skip breakfast and then you don't eat at night. It's kind of the baseline. There's lots of different ways to do it. Some people do 4-hour windows. Some people do like more like what Tom did, which is experiment with fasting for more than a day in a row.
You were doing the eight hour window one.
Yeah. And sometimes it was 6 and sometimes 7 and occasionally 9. And I had a couple cheat days when I went to Athens and just went bananas and went drinking with buddies. When my mom was here, I probably had a glass of wine or two after the 8-hour cutoff. But for the most part, for the whole month, I just committed and just did it. And it was, like you said, it was harder in some ways than I thought it was going to be. And other times it seemed like, oh, this is just my new life. I could do this sort of indefinitely. It didn't seem particularly hard. You get some hunger pangs and you kind of look at your watch and you go, meh, I'm just not eating until tomorrow. It's fine. You know?
The hour window thing is kind of weird to me. If that feels like just sleeping late. So I was like, I have to do a little bit more than that. Although to me, the cheat days were when I would do like an, give myself an A, like only a, if I'd only make it 16 hours, you know, that I had maybe one or two of those. And then, to me it was to try to get as close to 20 or 24 hours as I could every day.
You know? That's a lot. You're almost like some crazy religious figure, you know, doing something for a different.
You know, it's like, I did a 3-day, and my son was like, "What's up, Gandhi?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's not. You know what I mean? That's not. I mean, doing a little bit more than that." But fasting seems to be sort of a thing now. Like it's sort of a like a new sort of fad, maybe. I mean, I think it feels that way from my TikTok feed because I started noticing. Because I started looking for like, what are the benefits of TikTok?
Yeah, but that's not just going to feed you that. Come on, you could do that with anything. I mean, look at naked women who work out, and then suddenly every clip is naked women who work out. You know, whatever you're.
Really? That's all I got to do?
Yeah, I did that with. I watched a video. I told you this on the thing. I watched a couple videos of like an alligator eating a cheetah. And then, like, the next month, I get nothing but animals eating each other constantly. I had to stop. I had to, like, turn it. It's like, I can't watch another animal eating an animal. It's getting out of hand.
Yeah. Yeah, that's you're true. You're right. That's so, but maybe it's not a trend. But it's like, I don't know. I'm somehow combined with the thing that we did months ago about the, ultra processed foods. Right. Somehow obviously because I just did a month of each of them with you, they're connected to me. So it's like, it starts to be like, oh, what I'd never paid attention to really what's going in, but you know, I've eaten whatever I've wanted all my life. You know what I mean? So at any time, whatever, it's like, oh, it's Wendy's at 3 a.m. Cool. You know? So to start to pay attention to what's going in, you know, it's all connected to me now a little bit. So I, you know, again, I appreciate doing these things with you, but yeah, I saw once I started looking into it, I was like, you're not really getting that many benefits from not eating for 12 hours. I mean, it just, we eat too much. That's a given. Right. And we eat shit for too much.
Right. That's the thing. Actually, I want to kind of go back and look and see. Certainly somebody did studies on this. Is it actually just that I'm eating fewer calories because of the parameters, or is there something about the parameters that is doing the work? Because I actually weigh less today than I have in several years. So it's back to back. The month prior was steps. So I was walking every day all over the place. And then this month was intermittent fasting. You know, and the reason I was interested in intermittent fasting in the first place was, well, lots of reasons, but two of the reasons were my buddy Mark, who became sort of a chunk. He was a scholarship hockey player. He was an athlete in college. And then later in life became sort of this chunkier character. And then I've been doing intermittent fasting and has, you know, kept the weight off for like a decade plus. And then my uncle, who's now 70, he went on an extended motorcycle ride, and he realized at the end of it that he had lost some weight, and he was trying to figure out why. And then he realized like he would just ride in the morning for a long time and not eat until the afternoon. And so he started looking into intermittent fasting, and he sort of committed to that as a thing, and it seemed to be a big improvement for his world. So he stuck with it. He sort of backed into it. Fascinating.
Yeah, it's sort of how I did it at the beginning of this. Like I was flying to like France or something, and then it was like I was like it was a really long flight, and I realized oh, I didn't eat today. You know what I mean? I did not that I was just like, hey, I didn't eat. I was like, I didn't eat. And then when I got there, the restaurant was closed at the hotel, and I was like, oh, I guess I'm not eating today. And then I realized, oh, this is like 30 hours since I've eaten. Okay, I can do this. It's like once I realized I could do it and it wasn't as bad as I thought it was, I was like, oh, okay.
You know? Right.
And yeah, spiritually, I've read a lot about fasting, and not a lot, but it gets mentioned because that's one of my things for the last of my life is I like to read everybody's sort of version of spirituality and religion or whatever. So, and they're all, it's in there. It's throughout all of them. And a lot of the wisest people I've read, you know, they talk about fasting, you know, and, I don't know. I just fluked into the first one and then I was like, oh, I can do this. And then I did another one immediately. That was like, then I did a 47 hour And I'm thinking about, when I say it's easy, I'm looking back at some of my notes and about how hard it was. I'm like, all I think about is food, you know, like, so, you know, but I think, yeah, you're taking, when you do eat, I tended to, because of our other thing with the, what you're putting in your body, I wouldn't just eat crap. I'd be like, oh, I should, when I do eat, I would eat a little, I'd eat a big salad with a bunch of crap on it, you know what I mean? And then just use vinegar or whatever. And I wasn't like grabbing mac and cheese and rice and like eating crap, you know? So I think in combination, yeah, I think I lost six, seven pounds, but I was also doing the same thing. I was also going to the gym and, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's like something about it, the energy of realizing, oh, I don't have to eat like that. I realize that's an addiction too. This sort of, yeah, addicted to food that I don't even eat, you know?
Yeah. So some of it's like comfort.
It's kind of like taking a crap. And then sometimes I'd get really hungry and then it would go away. It's like almost like you ever have to take a crap and then it's like you don't. And you don't hop around anywhere where you can, and then it just sort of goes away for 2 hours or whatever, you know?
Yeah, right.
I don't know if that happens to you, but so it was kind of like that, where it'd be like, I found from 18 hours to about 22, it was like, what the fuck, I need to eat. And I'd go through these things about it, but then there'd be these big windows where I wasn't. And I also got lucky early on in that, because of jet lag, I was sleeping. So I was sleeping through a lot of that. So, it was, you know, as long as I'm sleeping, that fasting is easy. You know what I mean? Especially in.
Yeah, I mean, just broadly, the experiment of not eating breakfast, basically, for a month, it's fine. Like, I don't really... I always ate breakfast because I thought it was important. I didn't really need it. I don't have any of the blood sugar things where I get woozy if I don't eat breakfast. I didn't seem to have an energy lag. I didn't seem to have any, like, oh, I could focus. Some of the things that people describe as issues with fasting, I didn't have any of the. I never touched any of those at all. You know, so.
Yeah, it does the opposite for me. Like, it makes me less lethargic and less. All that stuff. And you, as I was, like I said, all those videos I ended up getting nailed with about, you know, it just talks about all that stuff. Like, we don't need three meals a day. That's actually not how humans eat. That's how we were advertised to eat. That's how the food pyramid, all that was bullcrap by the food companies and the food industry. And breakfast is the most important meal is the cereal. That comes from the cereal companies. That's not a real thing from nutritionists. Like right. Your body works better. According to these, what I ended up watching was like when you don't eat as much and the body has to do the work and the like that fat that's around your bellies and stuff like that, that's all visceral fat. That's fat from your organs around. That's why it's the last fat to go. That's why, you know, but in fasting, it's some of the first fat to get eaten. And the body from on a cellular level starts to do autophagy, which is the cells start to turn on themselves and sort of clean themselves out and eat the diseased and the bad mitochondria within that cell and use it. It releases that into the body as energy. So all this stuff starts to happen, especially from, you know, each sort of block from 24 to 48 is different and the 48 to 72 and the real like stem cell release from your bone marrow till your body, like all the real like body total reset stuff seems to happen from my limited understanding from like the 72 hour mark, the 3 to 5 day part where it's like, you know,
goodness. I don't know if I'm going into that universe.
Yeah. I can't imagine doing that. You know what I mean? It's like, and then, you know, I've always joked about fasting, like how Gandhi used it to change the world. And then, you know, every now and then some American will be like, I'm fasting because, you know, for Israel, Palestine, and then they just stop eating and then they're dead in 6 days because you can't just stop eating McDonald's. Fucking Gandhi planned for this his whole life. He ate like he would not eat peas at a time or he'd just eat like nuts and shit. You know what I mean? So it was like a basketball player that works on his game. Like, then he would fast for long periods of time. You can't just go be Kobe. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
right.
But it's the as long as I was eating, I was drinking water, and the hard part at first was coffee because I like milk in my coffee, which is that's like 5 calories. So like you can't have that either. So it was just black milk and water. And then I would eat, I eat sea salt, a little sea salt, like, and I would notice sometimes when I needed it.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I had the same thing with coffee. I would just wait and have my coffee at noon, and then I could put what I wanted in it. Or I could have black coffee at 10. I would sometimes do that, but it was fine. I mean, I'll definitely keep some of the structure of that around because I found it to be kind of a useful thing to be conscious of for sure. And for me, trimming down the, you know, pistachios and 2 beers at night kind of stuff, kind of trimming that out of my life as a regular default is going to be good anyway, intermittent fasting or no.
It's the constant snacking stuff that we do all day long that we don't even realize we're doing, right?
And then it's one way to shine a light on that as much as anything else, right? Yeah, so I'll definitely keep some of that around. It was a great experiment. I loved it. I thought it was cool. Yeah. And by the way, November for me, just a month, is ChatGPT therapy. I just started yesterday, and I did a mini session about poker outcomes and anxiety around that. And it was amazing how much like poker lingo the robot understands. It's really fascinating. So listen in next month. I'll report back about ChatGPT therapy. I'm doing it with a dude here in the complex. He's like a dad of one of the friends that Zoe met at the pool. He's this very thoughtful filmmaker dude from South Africa. And he was like, I'll do that with you. Let's do it. So we're doing this month. Cool. Yeah, my friend Glenn reports loving that. He's constantly chatting with the robot.
Yeah, anytime I've seen ChatGPT, it's nothing but like, oh, you're the greatest. That's the best thought I've ever heard. You know what I mean?
It definitely does that.
It's great therapy. I had to tell it. I was playing around with it once I've only played around with it once for about a week, to be honest. And I literally told it, hey, can you stop telling me that these ideas are genius? It sounds so condescending. And I know you're not, I know that's not true. So you're ruining your own credibility. It's like, oh, that's a great point. Okay, so fucking doing it again, ChatGPT.
That's definitely how it's
programmed. I know that idea sucks. I put it in there to hear you tell me it was great because I knew you're a liar.
And I find myself saying, you know, like, please and sorry. Like, what? You know, it's funny. It's funny to interact with the robot. So it's going to be a great experiment. All right. Tell us again where they could find you.
I wonder what chat would tell you about.
Oh, go ahead.
I wonder what chat would tell you about.
About what? I lost you.
I wonder what chat would tell you about fasting and stuff like what it would, which.
Oh, I talked to chat about it a little bit a month ago. I was kind of like knocking around some of the different choices and the strengths of the thing and the reason you do it and the different options, the way people do it. I sort of landed on the default go-to version, but there are lots of other choices. Chat's handy for, you know, and the little assist on Google and, you know, some of these robot things are getting good at what they do. I keep hearing about how the jobs go away. You know, where's my website for a dollar? When does it improve my life in a way that I can measure?
That's true. Maybe it's going to be this month with the therapy, dude. You know, we'll see, you know.
Yeah.
And all the people that just lost all their WIC benefits, maybe look into some fasting. You know what I mean? Like, I think a lot more people are going to be going hungry over the next few months. So, you know what I mean? Maybe we can turn it into a positive.
That's nice. A silver lining.
They call it fasting because after 3 days, I ran a 4-5 to the buffet. I'll tell you that. Come on. But after your listener, I would recommend doing it. And I would tell you that it doesn't get easier. Like, I would do a 3-day and I'd be like, oh, I just did a 3-day. The next 2-day, I'm going to do 2 days now. Easy. Nope. It's hard every day, you know?
Oh, that's interesting.
And then I'd wake up on day 3 and be like, oh, yeah. So it's like a discipline that you end up developing, and I can't thank you enough for doing it with me, because it's like I feel like I'm going to do this off and on in different ways the rest of my life now.
Oh, that's great. Well, that's a pretty good pitch for the whole thing. Well, thanks for doing it, man. I love doing a thing with you. I love talking to you and catching up with you. And I'm kind of envious about your floating around joke-telling ways all over the earth. It's really cool, man.
I love it. I feel very lucky to finally not to just be being a comedian and not be like chasing popularity. It's just I don't know.
You found a comedy universe where you can make a good living, and it's not a race to sell tickets. It's actually, yeah, right. Yeah, that's a great construct.
They can see me at Tom Simmons. Yeah, they can see me at Tom Simmons on Facebook or T. Simmons Comedy on Instagram, T. Simmons Comedy on TikTok, and that's and then the specials. Love Everybody, and Tightrope are both out, and then the documentary is called Leave Them Wanting Less, and they're all up on laughafterdark.com, and then in a month on Malone's YouTube page, because I'm just not good at social media, so I don't have a whole infrastructure built.
Right. Laughafterdark.com with promo code Tom gets you 30 days to watch all the stuff. That's great, man. Thanks for doing it. Great to talk to you. Safe travels. Kill them out there. Stay away from the drug boats near Venezuela. Enjoy your travels. Kostaki.com has all of the details for me and my comedy shows here on land. And I'll talk to you in a month. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you.
Love you, man.
Love you too, buddy.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.